On Monday's front page, the admiral in charge of the military's Special Operations Command wants to expand its role. He wants to extend the reach of a projected 12,000 troops to places like Asia and Latin America. In Greece, violent protests left dozens of buildings on fire, but the Greek parliament approved harsh new austerity measures. And Iraqis are repaying a war debt with aid to the Syrian rebels. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the U.S. is increasingly turning to special operations forces in trouble spots. The nation's top special operations officer is a Navy SEALs member who oversaw the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Now Admiral William McRaven wants the power to move his forces faster outside of normal Pentagon deployment channels. He wants to be able to position his personnel where intelligence and global events indicate they're most needed. The military's regional combat commanders might feel that would undercut them. Some ambassadors in crisis zones are worried commando raids would upset local officials. Some Pakistanis felt that was the case with the bin Laden raid. In Greece, violence in the streets served as the backdrop to Parliament's approval of austerity measures demanded by foreign lenders. The approval means Greece can sign a new loan agreement and avoid default. The vote came after Prime Minister Lucas Papadimos said lawmakers had a patriotic duty to approve the austerity package. It calls for cutting the benchmark minimum wage 22%. It also calls for laying off 150,000 government workers by 2015. In the streets outside Parliament, protesters threw rocks at police, who fired back with tear gas. Later, demonstrators threw Molotov cocktails. The police said dozens of stores were torched or looted and more than 50 people were arrested. Not long ago, Syrians sent weapons and personnel into Iraq to help Sunnis fighting a sectarian conflict. Suddenly, it's the other way around. In Fallujah over the weekend, a belated celebration of the Prophet Muhammad's birthday looked like a rally for Syrian rebels. There was a collection to help fighters opposing President Bashar al-Assad across the border. Also over the weekend, Al-Qaeda and the more mainstream Jordanian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood called for jihadists to fight Assad's government. Elsewhere on Monday's front page, a study says most hospitals in New York are violating the rules when it comes to collecting from people who can't pay their bills. The state has a $1 billion charity care pool to pay for poor patients. Hospitals are supposed to get financial aid information and turn it over to the state before they file for judgments or liens on patients' homes. The study says some hospitals provided little or no financial data. Mitt Romney is running against the entrenched interests of Washington with help from some of its most prominent insiders. His kitchen cabinet includes some of the best-known Republican lobbyists in the Capitol. According to Times reporter Nicholas Confessori, at least 294 registered lobbyists donated a total of $401,000 to Romney's campaign through the end of last year. Television critic Alessandra Stanley has been watching what's on in Moscow. She says that 10 years ago, Russian television was insipid, but it came alive as Russia prospered. She says there's now plenty of humor on Russian television, but there's not much political satire. President Vladimir Putin put a stop to that long ago. To fill the gap, there is a lot of bad taste. Inside Monday's Times, the 54th Annual Grammy Awards opened with a politically charged rock anthem from Bruce Springsteen and an upbeat pop hit from Bruno Mars. Overshadowing the ceremony was the death of Whitney Houston. She was found in her room at the Beverly Hilton in Beverly Hills on Saturday night. She arrived on the scene in the mid-1980s as a flawless vocalist. Then she became R&B's great modernizer. In recent years, her fall attracted attention because she had so far to go. She'd remained in the public eye as a drug addict and a casualty of tabloid television. President Obama is unveiling his budget proposal for fiscal 2013 on Monday. Times reporter Jackie Combs says it will call for tax cuts, and he wants to set aside $4 trillion for deficit reduction over 10 years. In Congress, Democrats and Republicans continue to negotiate on a package that would extend a temporary 2 percentage point cut in workers' payroll taxes. Rick Santorum seemed to struggle to explain a passage in his 2005 book that accused what he called radical feminists of undermining families. Appearing on the ABC News program This Week, Santorum said he didn't remember that passage. He also said his wife wrote it, even though his name is the only one on the cover. Newt Gingrich will be largely out of sight for much of the week. He's making a detour to California, where he'll spend 3 days trying to raise money to keep his campaign going. He'll be the main attraction at fundraisers in San Diego and Fresno, but that will limit the time he has to spend with ordinary voters. Monday's Business Day section says Amanda Knox's memoir has publishers in a frenzy. She says it's going to be the unvarnished story of events that led to her arrest and the lurid killing of her roommate in Italy. She spent 4 years in prison until an appeals court overturned her conviction last fall. Now the question is, if she gets a seven-figure advance for the book, will it be worth it? Her ex-boyfriend, Rafael Solicito, also has an agent and a ghostwriter. He's expected to start shopping his book soon, too. That's our preview of Monday's New York Times. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.